Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Today we are continuing a series. It's called Family Circus, and we're very excited about it. We enjoyed last week, and I've known I was going to be talking about circuses for a while. And so before we really even settled on Family Circus, I decided to do a little research, learn about a circus, make sure that we weren't just barking up the wrong tree here. And so I did a little studying, a little learning about the circus and the history of the circus. And if you ever wanted to go look, I can give you some resources because it's pretty fascinating. The circus dates back, some of the events date back all the way to the Roman Empire, which is about 2,000 years ago for some of you who don't know history or math, about 2,000 years ago. But really, 1780 in Great Britain is when the circus really kind of, the form we know it as today sort of took off over in Great Britain, and it spread over there, and then in the early to mid-1800s, it was brought to the United States. A man named P.T. Barnum, maybe you've heard of P.T. Barnum, he's kind of the one that took the circus to its height, but by the end of the 1800s, early 1900s, circus had kind of drifted away again. It wasn't really a big deal. And then in the 1970s, there was a resurgence in the circus that we know, kind of the three rings, the big top. That was sort of when that circus kind of was reborn and reimagined. And now the circus is a tremendous industry. They actually have schools. They have training areas. Did you know there's a school for circus performers? This man back in the 70s, his name was Hovey Burgess. He created a training system for the circus. He created a school for the circus. And what he basically discovered was that everything you see in the circus, all the acts, everything, revolve around three simple basic skills. Three skills that we can all understand, that we can all learn, but skills that take a lifetime to master. And so what Hovey Burgess did is he created a training academy in schools. And he basically revolved everything around these three skills: juggling, equilibristics, and vaulting. Now, juggling, everybody understands, you know, juggling is just the act of keeping many things in the air at once. I wish I could juggle. That would be really cool if I could juggle, but I can't. But juggling, you know, keep many things in the air to keep it from dropping. Y'all understand juggling. Equilibristics is the perfection of equilibrium in your body and learning how to balance either on a high wire or a ball or other people. But balance is a really big part of it. And then vaulting is exactly what it sounds like. It's the art of throwing yourself through the air, either on a trapeze or being able to control yourself in midair, being able to change your body angles and all that kind of stuff. And he basically taught, and people have studied, and they've all learned and perfected that basically anything you can do in a circus revolves around those three skills. And so as we learned that and studied that, we were like, we have to call this Family Circus, because if that doesn't sound like a family, I don't know what does. A family is constantly trying to juggle multiple things, juggling many things, hoping nothing drops. We're always looking for that elusive balance, right, between spouses and kids and work and friends and everything. And then occasionally we have to vault ourselves into the path of oncoming danger, or we have to vault to get our kids out of danger. Like, it's exactly the same thing. And so it makes perfect sense for us that we're calling it Family Circus. And if you're here last week, you know, we kind of launched this entire discussion around this idea that this series is going to take two distinct tracks. We're going to have sort of two conversations at once. And the first conversation is going to be wrapped around what we're calling practical principles. And what our goal is, what we want to do is we want to teach you some very practical, helpful principles that we believe have the power to change your family. But in addition to those practical principles, we want to offer personal partnerships. Because here's what we know. We know that these principles, even though they sound simple, they are complicated. And they can take a lifetime to master. Much like the three skills that Hovey Burgess identified and trained for the circus. Juggling, equilibrium, and vaulting. They sound easy, but they take a lifetime to master. They take a lifetime to home. So what we want to do as your church, and if you're a guest today, we know we're not your church yet. We hope we become your church, because our entire goal is just to come alongside you and your family or your future family and just help to propel you into a better life. And so what we want to do is we want to offer those partnerships. We want to offer you opportunities to get in smaller groups, smaller environments with people just like you, with the same struggles as you, people who are a little ahead of you in the journey, who can help, who can teach you, who can give you some advice. We want to make both of those things happen together. And just like the actual circus, we believe that when it comes to family, it really does come down to three simple skills. three simple skills that we're going to talk about in this room. Simple skills that I'm going to explain in this room, but simple skills that we believe will take a lifetime to master in partnership with other people trying to do the exact same thing. So in fact, I'm going to go ahead and tell you the three skills today. Here are the three skills we're going to talk about for the next few weeks. This is what we think. We think, family, it comes down to these three things: submission, synchronization, and satisfaction. We believe these are skills that we can learn, skills that we can perfect, and as we do, our families get better. And I know you have a ton of questions. You don't know what this means. You shouldn't know what this means yet. Some of you are looking at satisfaction. You're like, satisfaction isn't a skill. Satisfaction is a way I feel. Don't worry, we'll get there. We'll get there. But today, the skill I want to talk about and the skill that I want to do my best today to help us figure out how to begin perfecting and then give us an opportunity to take a step towards that perfection is the first one you see there, the skill of submission. Everyone's favorite word, right? We all love to talk about, we all just love to submit, don't we? No, we don't. No one likes to submit. We don't like the word. The word makes us feel bad because it makes it feel like we've got to give up something. It makes it feel like we're giving up power. It makes it feel like we're losing something. But if you were here last week, we talked about this idea without you even knowing it. If you missed last week, we kind of opened this series with this idea. Before we can even get into the skill sets of families, before we can get in how to improve our family, there was one question we all had to answer. And this was the question: who is the ringleader of your family's circus? Who calls the shots? Who's in charge? And the reason that matters, as we saw last week, the reason it matters is because we learned that your family's leader determines your family's legacy. Whoever is in charge, whoever is calling the shots, is going to create the path that others will follow. That's all a legacy is. It's the path others will follow. And so last week we talked about this, and we made a suggestion as a church. We suggested that you in your life, and if you have a family, you invite him into your family. We suggested that you allow Jesus Christ to be the leader of your life. And the reason we made that suggestion is there's a couple things about Jesus that make him stand apart from everyone else. Number one, he's God. Pretty cool. Pretty helpful. Not only is he God, he is an all-loving God. He loves us so much that he gave up his own life for us so that we could be reconnected to his heavenly Father. Not only is he all-loving, he's all-powerful. So powerful that when he gave up his life for us, he was able to conquer death and bring himself back to life. So he's all-loving, he's all-powerful, and because he's God, he's all-knowing. Which means he not only knows the past and the present, he knows the future. He knows what's going to happen. And so we basically presented it this way. There is an all-loving, all-powerful, all-knowing God of the universe who wants to come into your life and give you the best life possible. When those things are stated, the only reasonable rational response is to say, okay, you are in charge. And to be able to say, you are in charge, Jesus, and to be able to live a life where you allow Jesus to be in charge without realizing it or not, you are learning, you are honing, you are perfecting the skill of submission. Because all submission means is laying down what I want for what someone else wants. And as we talked about last week, in your relationship with Jesus, you are going to constantly come against tensions, come against moments where there's something you want to do, there's something Jesus wants to do, there's something your friends or your family want you to do, there's something Jesus wants you to do. And if you choose to follow Jesus in those moments, even if it's not what you want to do, without realizing it, you are submitting to Jesus. You are perfecting and honing that skill of submission in your life. And we believe that is radically important to a successful life, because again, he's all loving, he's all knowing, he's all powerful. So when we disagree, guess what? We're the ones that are wrong. And that's simple and easy to understand, but it takes a lifetime to master. It takes a lifetime to understand. It takes a lifetime in community with other people walking the same way. So that's what we're trying to offer. But that's where submission begins. That's not where the skill of submission ends. That brings us to family today, because submission doesn't just mean willfully laying down. Submission also means to yield, to simply stop and allow someone else to go in front of you. Now, that could be physically at a stop sign where you stop and you feel like Jesus for a moment because you look and you go, and you look in the mirror and you're like, I'm a good person. And then they don't go. And so you speed through and yell at them as you go. You know, it's just me. Am I the only one who does that? But so submission means to yield, but not just physically, in relationships. It means in relationships with your family, with your spouse, with your kids, with your coworkers, with your boss, with your neighbors. The submission means to willfully choose to say, you know what? You go first. You know what? Your needs, you go first. Your wants, your desires, your hopes, your dreams. You know what? Let's let those, well, why don't you go ahead? Why don't you go first? It's okay. I want you to succeed. And you may wonder, why would we want to live that way? And the answer is very simple. It's because our leader lives that way. See, if you make Jesus the leader of your life and you make Jesus the leader of your family and you begin to submit to him and let him lead you, what you're going to find is what he wants you to do is lead like he leads. And Jesus leads by putting our needs first. He leads by doing what is best for us, not as what is simply best for himself. And so what I want to talk about today, when we're talking about this skill of submission, I want us to begin to think through what it means not only to submit our lives to Jesus and to let him lead us, but then to begin to see, okay, what does it look like as we begin to lead like Jesus, as we begin to love like Jesus, as we begin to do whatever it takes to put the needs and the interests and the best of our spouse and our kids and our families and our friends to put them first. Now, you keep hearing me say spouse, and that's because in the New Testament, the main way we teach this topic, the main way we talk about this issue, is in the context of marriage. Now, I understand that everybody in the room is married today, and submission extends outside of marriage, but it is sort of best learned and best understood within marriage. Now, here's what I know about everyone in the room today. Everyone in this room is either looking towards marriage, maybe it's something coming soon, maybe it's something a decade off, but you look towards it like it's something you kind of want to aspire to. Maybe you're in a marriage, and so you have a feeling about that. Maybe you are on the other side of a marriage. Maybe you feel like you are recovering from a marriage. You know, maybe you feel like you have given up on marriage. But the reason we're going to talk about marriage is because when most people think about families, most of the time there's a marriage at the center. Now, again, we have some great, I know we have some single parents in the room, and I totally understand that. We are with you. We support you. This idea of submission still matters. But many of you single parents in the room, you are still probably, you're not recovered enough yet to keep looking, but you're going to recover. And you may look again. You may look. And so we want to talk about this in the context of a marriage, of a partnership, of a duo. Because when you think about a circus, some of the most famous, popular acts we see are in duos. You know, and they're what we think about the most. Like, for example, when you think about the trapeze, we have a duo. Right? We embrace that. We have the high wire act, and they're in a duo. We have this balancing act, and they're in a duo. And then we have this. I don't know what this is. but it's a duo. And here's the thing about these duos, right? They only work together because they submit to each other. Well, and the matching outfits. Don't we all just really want matching outfits? Just somebody to wear matching outfits with? Like, is it that kind of? But no, the reason these duos work is because they submit to each other. They don't get the opportunity halfway through the act to decide, you know what, I'm going to do something else today. I'm not going to catch her. See ya! Like it doesn't work that way. What makes these duos work is this skill we're talking about today, this skill of submission. They have honed that skill. And our goal for you today, if you're looking towards marriage, if you're in a marriage, if you're recovering from a marriage, if you have an interest in family, then this skill of submission is required. The best way we can talk about submission, as I said, is in the context of the New Testament. If you're not familiar with the Bible, the New Testament is the second, basically third of our Bible. The first two-thirds are the Old Testament, which tells a story of God's kind of creation of the earth and his movement through the nation of Israel. The New Testament picks up with the birth of Jesus. We then have four biographies of Jesus' life. We have a book of Acts, which is a history lesson, a history book of the history of the early church. And then we have training manuals, different letters written by different men who followed God to different churches and to different groups of people to teach them what it means to submit their lives to Jesus, to teach them what it means to follow Jesus. And one man who wrote a lot of those letters was a man named Paul. Paul was an early church leader. He started a bunch of churches, and then Paul would write letters to these churches to train them because they didn't know what it meant to be a Christian. And what we believe as Christians is that when Paul was writing those letters, God himself was speaking through Paul. And he wasn't just writing letters to those people. He was writing letters to us. So almost 2,000 years later, on the other side of the planet, we can read these letters, and we know what God wants for our life. And so today we're going to look at two of those letters, his letter to the church at Ephesus and his letter to the church at Philippi. Because his church, the letter to the church at Ephesus, we looked at it a little last week, because it's sort of like this universal letter. It explains who Jesus is. It explains what Jesus did. And then he sort of hits a couple of highlights of different areas of our life that we need to submit to Jesus. And we're going to look at the letter to Philippians because he kind of explains what submission means a little bit more. So if you have your Bibles, you can join me in Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we're going to start. Ephesians chapter 5, because Paul here speaks directly toward to married couples. But again, this can apply if you're pursuing marriage. This can apply if you're trying to recover from marriage. And this definitely applies to our families as a whole. So if you have Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Ephesians 5, 21. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. And here's what Paul says about submission. He says, further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, this is important because this is the guiding verse of everything else we're about to read. He says, submit to one another. There's no higher, there's no lower, there's no power, there's no hierarchy. He says, submit to one another. Why? Because that's what Jesus would want you to do. Now, what we're going to do quickly is we're going to turn over to Paul's letter to the Philippians, because here he sort of expands what submit means. And he broadens it even beyond marriage. He broadens it to everybody. And here's what he says in Philippians 2, chapter 3. Don't be selfish. Selfishness is the opposite of submission. If you ever want to just check yourself, test yourself, am I submitting in this area? The question is, well, are you being selfish? Because if you're being selfish, you're not submitting. If you're being selfish, you're not putting the other people first. Even if you're one of those people who can convince yourself that your selfishness is really serving somebody else, again, am I the only one who does that? Must be. But he says, don't be selfish. And if you want to know what that means, he keeps going. He says, don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. As better, more valuable, more important. And he keeps going. He says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. All times, all situations, submit in marriage to one another. Look out for each other. Look out for the best interests of the other. Why would we do this? Paul says it again. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And in Philippians, he continues to go on, and Paul begins to, he goes on and he explains how that Jesus is God. He was in heaven. He had everything he deserved because he was God, and he gave it all up. He laid it all down for us. He laid down what he deserved to give us what we didn't deserve. That is the key to submission. That is the key to God's love for us, and that is the key for our love towards our spouses, towards our families, towards our friends, towards our neighbors even, our coworkers, anyone in our life that we're invested in that we care about. The key to leading them and to loving them is to hone this skill of submission. Now, let's go back to Ephesians, because here's how Paul really explains it. He says, for wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Don't throw anything. Let's just read the whole thing together, because sometimes what happens is people read that, they take it out of context, they try to fight. Let me go ahead and be a little nerdy for a second, a little geeky on the Greek here. There is no verb in this sentence in the Greek. The verb is in the verse before where it says submit to each other. That's the verb. The next sentence just says, wives to husbands. So it is an extension of what was said up top. And that up top goes to the wife and to the husband. It's the same command. It's not different. Let me keep going. It says, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Let's keep reading. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Again, you've got to see the whole picture here. What Paul is doing is Paul is comparing a marriage to our relationship with God. And he's saying, just as we know God, we love God, we trust God, just as God has done everything for us, and that allows us to follow him to freely, that is the way it should be in a marriage. Okay? This is not an excuse for power. This is not an excuse to abuse. This is not an excuse to oversee. That is a gross misreading. That is heresy. That is in no way what this text is saying. This text is basically saying the way your Father loves you is the way I want you to love each other. And it is a selfless, sacrificial, submission-filled love. And he just happens to start with the wives. And he says, so wives, you submit to your husbands this way. You believe the best about your husbands. You love your husbands. You support your husbands. And then he continues with the husbands. And he says, so for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. There is no distinction because it says submit to one and love the other. It's the same verb coming from the submit up top. This isn't a power struggle. This is about radical love. This is about making the radical decision to love another human being, to serve another human being, to submit to another human being the way our Heavenly Father loved and submitted to us. And so when he talks to husbands, he said, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And then he goes on to explain how Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. And then he keeps going. He says he did this, Jesus did this for the church to present her, the church, to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In other words, every single thing Jesus has ever done in life was for our good, was to make our lives better, was to make our lives more joyful, was to make our lives more productive. It was for our benefit, not his. He's saying, hey, husbands, that's how I want you to lead. That's how I want you to love. And if you're not sure that's what he's saying, let's read the next verse. In the same way of what I just described, in the same way of what Jesus did for us, then he says these words, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. Jesus is elevating the standard of love in a family. And he's elevating it to himself. And here's what he's really saying. If you want radical love, if you want to receive it, if you want to experience it, you have to begin to understand love isn't a feeling. Love isn't a noun. Love is a verb. Love is something you do. Love is a choice you make. Love is the decision to say every day, in and out, I am going to put you first. I'm going to put your needs first. I'm going to put your wishes first. I'm going to put your desires first. I'm going to trust Jesus to fill my needs so that I'm set free to love you like he loves me. I know. Simple, right? See, that's why I said this skill, this practice, the skill of submission, it is simple to understand. But it takes a lifetime to master. And so, what we want to do as your church is we want to give you opportunities and avenues to perfect this skill. Because you're not going to perfect it in this room. Let me just be frank. If you've come into today, or if you've come into this series, if you come into this church and you truly believe that your life is going to radically improve, that your marriage is going to radically improve, that your family is going to radically improve, any of that's going to happen because you come to this room, you sit here, you sing a couple of songs, you listen to me talk for 35 to 38 minutes, and you're just going to walk out the door and things are going to magically get better. I am so sorry. But that is not how it works. Now, your Heavenly Father desperately wants to see your life get better. And he's created a church who wants to come alongside you and help you make your life better. But the way he's designed that to work is that we learn principles together, but then we put them into practice in much smaller groups of people, much smaller circles where there can be hands-on interaction and hands-on question and answer and hands-on training. And our Heavenly Father has just always chosen to move through community. And so, as we offer you the practical principles, we want to come behind it with a personal partnership. As you came in today, you probably noticed we had group signups again today. And the reason that's there is many of you are already in groups, and we celebrate that. And starting, I think, this week, our CGs are going to be talking for the next several weeks about this skill, about the skill of submission, about how they put it into practice. where the tensions are, where the confusions are. You're going to have people in those groups that are same place as you. You're going to have people that are ahead of you. We have groups for people who are in college, who are just out of college and single and aren't even getting ready towards marriage. We have groups for people that are engaged. We have groups for people that are married. We have groups for people that are recovering from marriage. We have groups for people who say never again. Like, we have groups for all sorts of people. And our hope today is that you won't just let this stop in here and nodding your head and thinking, man, that'd be really good if I could get better at that. Our prayer today is that you will take a step by either letting us know in your connection card that you want to join a group, or that when we dismiss today, you'll go out there and have some conversations, or at least you'll go home and start having some conversations with your spouse. Because this is a skill, hear me, you can get better at this. You can get better at this than you ever thought possible, because you have a God of the universe that's all loving, all powerful, and all knowing, and he says you can get better. And he's got the power to prove it. But we can't get better by simply sitting, hearing, thinking, I should change that, and then doing nothing about it. And you understand that's the way life works. And so our hope today is that you will take a step, whatever that step is, to begin to hone the skill of submission in your life, either honing the skill of submitting to Jesus. I know for some of you, you can't even think about family and all this kind of stuff. You don't even know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. For you, we have an environment that we call Starting Point. And Starting Point, we meet for several weeks in a row, and it's simply an introduction to Christianity, an introduction to how to read your Bible, an introduction to learning what it means to begin to submit different areas of your life. I'm telling you guys, we got you covered. We really want to help. And I assure you, if you want that great, thriving family that I think we all want, then whatever step you decide to take, you're going to have to take a step towards perfecting the skill of submission in your lives, both submission to your Heavenly Father and submission to the people in your life that you're called to love, that you're called to serve, and that you're called to protect. So I hope you'll take a step. I know for some of you, you won't. I just know. And so, as we close today, what I want to do is, as I'm encouraging you to take a step, I do want to give you a practical tool, something you can take from today. You can ask these questions of yourself. If you're in a dating relationship, you can ask them of each other. If you're in a marriage, you can ask them of each other. If you're recovering from marriage, you can begin to ask yourself, what would have to change in my heart, in my life, before I might be open to this again? And it's basically two simple questions about submission. And they're questions that I think should trump any other question you're asking, especially if you're in a dating relationship. So we've got questions for people who are pursuing marriage, and we've got questions for people who are in marriage. I want to start with the questions for the people that are pursuing marriage. Because if you're pursuing marriage, you need to be thinking about this idea of submission before marriage. You need to be thinking about it in your dating relationship. And here's a question you need to ask. Number one, you need to ask yourself, can I put them first? Am I dating someone that I can serve? Am I dating someone I can submit to? Am I dating someone that I want to put first? Because if you don't, what are you doing? If you're dating someone based purely on what you're getting from them, or just because you're lonely, but there's no future there, and you have no desire to put them first, you have no desire to see them smile, you have no desire to serve them, guys, that's a pretty good indication you need to bail. Like, you need to get out. And then the second question you need to ask, not only can I put them first, are they putting me first in the dating relationship? Am I dating someone that submits to me? Am I dating someone that values me? Am I dating someone that cares about me? You know, is this relationship all about what we get? Or is this a relationship about what we give? Are we both submitting to our Heavenly Father? Are we receiving from him? And then are we trying to serve each other and love each other? And here's why you have to ask this question before you get married. Because submission is a skill best brought into marriage. I assure you, just because you dress up and say I do, you don't magically learn to submit to each other. You could take me to a circus, dress me up like a tightrope walker. I could say I'm a tightrope walker. Doesn't mean I can walk a tightrope. The exact same thing happens in marriage. In fact, I think these two questions, can I put them first? Are they putting me first? Are the two most important questions every person in this room can ask as you pursue marriage. This trumps compatibility. This trumps attraction. I mean, yeah, find somebody you're attracted to. Find somebody you like hanging out with. But find somebody you can submit to. Find somebody that you enjoy putting them first. Find somebody that enjoys putting you first. It's way more important than compatibility. My wife and I have been married for 16 years. Guess what, folks? People change. I was 23 when I got married. She was 25. If our marriage was based on compatibility, we are not the same people we were at 23 and 25. It's not about compatibility. It's about submission. It's about, are you willing to do the work? Are you willing to make love a verb, not a noun, and say, I'm going to choose to put you first. I'm going to choose to serve you. If you are pursuing marriage, if you are pursuing a dating relationship, and you can't resoundingly answer yes to both of those questions, it's time to hit pause, and it's time to have a discussion. Because this skill of submission is required. Now, this is pre-marriage. This is looking towards marriage. This is recovering from marriage, trying to get whole and healthy so maybe you can pursue it again. There are a different set of questions if you are married, if you are currently within what we believe is a covenant agreement between you and the other person and God, that you will love them and serve them forever. If you are in that, the questions change. There is submission before marriage, submission during marriage, the question changes. It's no longer, can I put them first? The question is, am I putting them first? It's not conditional anymore. It's not an option. You wake up every morning, you look yourself in the mirror, you think about your spouse. Am I putting them first? There's no but after that sentence either. Am I putting them first? Am I doing what it takes to serve them and to love them? Now, please hear me. I'm not saying that there aren't moments that break the covenant. Of course they do. There are actions one party can make or the other, and the covenant's broken. So I'm not saying that in any way. I'm just talking about day to day. If they haven't done something to break the covenant, if they haven't committed adultery, if they haven't abused you, if they haven't abandoned you, I'm just talking about just like day to day, they drive you crazy, you know? Why are y'all laughing? But the question, am I putting them first? Before you go to them, before you say, hey, we need to talk, we've got a problem here, we've got a question here. First question you should ask, am I submitting? Am I honing this skill in my life? Am I putting them first? The next question is different as well. Can they put me first? It's not are they putting, can they put me first? You know what that means? Am I easy to love? Am I easy to serve? Am I easy to submit to? See, you know why you ask that question? Because once you're in the deal, once you're in the covenant, you've made a commitment. And I don't know if you've got to figure this out or not, but you can't control other people. You know this? You can control yourself. So within the confines of marriage, am I putting them first? And can they put me first? Am I making it easy to love? Am I making it easy to serve? Now, again, as I told you, these questions don't solve anything. These are just questions aimed at getting you to start having discussions, to getting you to begin thinking about this skill of submission in your life. I am still convinced that the best way to perfect it is within community, and I hope you'll take a step today. But I need you to know, this is bigger than just marriage. This skill of submission, there will be times, even as adults, you will need to submit to your parents. You will submit to your in-laws. There will be times you will submit to your children. And some of you are saying, when? I'll tell you when. When the four-month-old starts screaming at 2 a.m., you know what that action is? You're submitting to them. You don't want to get out of bed, but you did because you knew it was best for them. Well, what about if you're raising teenagers? Or what about when your son or daughter goes to college? And their dreams for their life change. And their dreams for their life don't match your dreams for their life. Whose dreams win? Can you submit in that moment? Can you put aside what you always hoped would happen? And support where they want to go. And I know some of you are still just pushing back. Why does the skill matter? What is the point? Why does submission matter so much? Why is it such a big deal? Let me help. Do you know what submission does in a relationship? The constant putting their needs first, the constant doing what's best for them. Do you know what that does? It creates and builds trust. For those of you who are Christians in the room, you know why you're a Christian? Because you trust Jesus. Because you can read a book, and you can pray, and you can experience, and you know that everything he's ever done was for your good. He's never made a selfish decision about you. He's never put himself first. Everything has been to make your life better. And so you trust him. As we learn to hone and perfect the skill of submission in our lives, what we are doing is we are creating and building that same trust with our spouses and with our friends and with our families, so that when the day comes when we need to lead, when the moment comes where something terrifying is about to happen, where they're about to make a mistake, where we have to make a decision, because we've submitted, because we've built that trust, even when we have the conversation that they don't like, they know, well, Mom, she's always done what's best for me. Dad, he's always done what's best for me. My spouse has always done what's best for me. And see, that trust, that's where great families soar. That trust, that's that thing, you don't even know it. That's the thing you see in families that you want to be like. That's the thing that you're working towards. And I'm just telling you, you will never be able to establish the intimacy and the trust and the closeness that you want with your spouse or with your families until you begin taking steps every day to hone the skill of submission. So, what step can you take today? Let me pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you for, well, we thank you for your son. We just thank you for who he is and for what he's done. God, I thank you that your son loved us and he submitted to us. And we thank you. We have this amazing picture of what that looks like and how we can emulate you and how we can love like you and how we can build that trust. God, I just pray for every family in this room. I pray for every person in this room. God, whatever step it is we need to take today to begin to hone the skill of submission. Maybe it's the very beginning, a relationship with you. Maybe it's certain areas of our life. God, I don't know what it is, but you do. Please give us the courage to take that step. A step towards submission. A step towards perfecting that skill in our lives. Because, Father, we know without that skill, we'll never have the family you intended us to have. So we love you, we thank you, and we can't wait to see what you're going to do in us, to us, and through us. And in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.